What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Warriors are taking on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Everyone is available except one player. We'll talk about who and why that is. Also, a look at the NBA standings, especially in the Western Conference. And who might the Warriors see in that 1-8 matchup? Or, you know what, could possibly be a 2-7 matchup? All that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just a heads up, everyone, you can get Locked On Warriors on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as the Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Warriors. Tell all smart devices that, really. Anyways, Dubs taking on the Grizzlies tonight. Have a full squad. No one is being rested, but someone is being suspended. And I guess we'll start with that before we get into tonight's game, because it's ugly, man. You know, it won't affect the team moving forward, I guess, so to speak. It's not. Well, let me just get to Jordan Bell got suspended for tonight's game for conduct detrimental to the team. Now, no other info has been released as to what it is that he did to get suspended. But, man, this is just a rough, rough second year for Jordan Bell. And it doesn't, I don't know. I'm a guy who looks forward all the time. Like, as soon as the season starts, as soon as the 2018-19 season starts, I'm already looking at who the free agents are that following summer. And, you know, so it just, I know we talking about next year's roster isn't, it's kind of faux pas, I guess, especially when the Dubs have a chance at winning a championship. But man, it doesn't. It looks like Jordan Bell's days with the Warriors are numbered. Does not look like he's going to make it to a third year with the Golden State Warriors. And the difference between his situation and the Pat McCaw situation is the Warriors wanted Pat McCaw back. They thought there was a role for him. They thought he was a valuable wing in today's NBA. And Pat's the one who wanted out. With Jordan Bell, it just does not seem like it's going to happen. As I said, no real info has been released as far as why he was suspended. Monty Poole put out an article that shed some light just on the entire situation that was pretty interesting, because we've heard a lot of things about his, you know, he lacks some professionalism and things of that nature, but no real specifics. And same thing with this article by Monty Poole. He didn't get too much into it, but we do see some. He does kind of, you know, fill us in a little bit. Monty Poole writes, though the Warriors, who announced the suspension with a 36-word statement, are not divulging the reasons, it seemed inevitable that Bell would be suspended for something at some point, which gives you a little bit of insight to the world of the Warriors and the world of Jordan Bell, because we only really see what happens on the court. And besides mistakes on the court and the one argument he had with Steve Kerr in that Clippers game a couple months ago, as far as we know, he's just not that good of a player. He makes mistakes. But by Monty Poole saying that it seems like he was going to get suspended at some point means there's things that he's doing that are not are detrimental to the team, I guess. Monty, when talking about the argument, on-court argument that Bell had with Steve Kerr in that Clippers game, also said this. But that wasn't the first or second or third or fourth time that Bell was either insubordinate or irresponsible since paying $3.5 million to obtain his rights in the 2017 draft. There were numerous occasions last season in which Bell was late for individual workouts or otherwise unavailable when he should have been. So that's a little bit of insight there, that he's irresponsible. He's late for workouts. He's not dedicated to his craft so much. He's still got a chance to, I don't know, potentially maintain his spot on this team next year, get a qualifying offer. But right now, man, it seems like that this is a situation headed for divorce, so to speak. These two sides don't seem to be on the same page. And it's too bad because Jordan Bell has a ton of talent. After last year, a lot of us thought he'd be starting at center and the Warriors might not be able to afford him. And at this point, the Warriors don't want to afford him. If they deem it more valuable to their team to have a wing on the roster throughout the playoffs, such as Damian Lee, I think Jordan Bell would be the one to go. I don't know if they'll decide that or not. We'll have to wait and see. But a weird turn in a weird season for Jordan Bell, which really is too bad, especially when you factor in, you know, what Monty Poole said. They paid $3.5 million for his draft rights in a draft that also had other players that they could have drafted. I've mentioned how important it is that they hit on all their draft picks and, you know, find diamonds in the rough. And we thought Jordan Bell was going to be one of them. But at this point, it does not seem like that's the case. Jordan Bell was picked 38th overall, as we know, from the Bulls. Here's one good thing. Maybe it'll allow teams to actually sell us their draft picks again, since it didn't work out so well. I know the Bulls took a lot of grief for making that trade, and you know Jordan Bell didn't let him forget it either for the cash considerations. But yeah, it's just too bad in a draft that had guys like, you know, Jonah Bolden go a couple picks before him, Semi Ojeleye, Ivan Rabb. You know, these guys all went a couple picks before him, but the players that went after him, even, you know, Dwayne Bacon, not great, but he's getting playing time in Charlotte. Thomas Bryant, Dylan Brooks, Sterling Brown, Sindarius Thornwell, Monte Morris, all these guys went after him and are contributing and seem to be solid players, to where Jordan Bell, it looks like he's not long for the Warriors. Anyways, went a little longer on Jordan Bell than I wanted to, but it happens. Going to take a quick break, come back, talk about tonight's game and some of the standings in the Western Conference, because Warriors are not alone atop that one seed anymore. And they also need to worry about who they would rather play in that first round, whether it's better for them to be the one seed or the two seed. And just remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Warriors on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya. With their personally cultivated playlists and new features every day, download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Warriors. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? Just went over the suspension of Jordan Bell for tonight's game for conduct detrimental to the team. Nothing official, but I mean, I have to imagine it's, you know, missing practice or something. I don't know, something insubordinate, which is too bad. And does not speak well for his future with the Warriors. Anyways, enough on that. You know, I spent a lot of time on a guy who can't crack the rotation, but we all had high hopes for him. And not anymore, I guess. We'll see. Anyways, moving on to tonight's game, the Golden State Warriors taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies are 20 and a half games back behind the Warriors, so they'll have to take a pretty hot finish for them to catch up. Obviously eliminated from the playoffs with, what, 8 games left for them, 9 games left for the Warriors. And something we've seen recently, at least the last game against Detroit, but we saw it against Detroit, we saw it against Indiana, we also saw them blow it against Dallas. They've gone from, you know, good games where you see them like, oh, they're locked in, they're ready to go for the playoffs, and then they come out and get, you know, smacked by 35 against the Mavs. So it's tough to know what you're going to get, but I would hope, and I also expect, at this point with 9 games left, this is where they are going to lock in. And I know I've said it before, and hell, Steph said it before, and was wrong. But I think this is where they're going to lock in, especially knowing that they're playing. They do have a favorable schedule for the last nine games, that's for sure, which is part of why I'm not too worried about the standings as far as where they'll end up, one or two. It pretty much depends on what they want, but we'll get into that in just a minute. As far as tonight's game goes, just want to see the team lock in. You know, it's that simple, kind of cliche, but when it comes to these guys, we know how good they can be. We know how good they are, and we've seen them play great basketball the last, you know, three out of four games. It's just that fourth game when no one decides to show up is the problem. But as far as the team goes, what I'm looking for tonight, I don't know what I want out of Kevin Durant, because it's not as if he's played poorly without shooting, you know, taking six, seven shots a game over the last handful. But I'm just interested. Does that continue? Is this a game where he tries to get more shots up? It's more of a feel thing with him. When, you know, he feels he needs to take over, he'll do it. Does he feel like he needs to tonight? That'll be interesting to me. Steph and Clay, first quarter. Can they get it together in the first quarter? It started out kind of ugly against Detroit, where they forced it to Clay first couple possessions, and he didn't hit a shot. And then Steph started to get going, and they stopped forcing it, and Clay was able to get into his groove and actually finished with a good game. He was 10-17 from the field, so that means after those first two, he went 10-15, which is damn good. But how do they come out from the jump? Do they force it to Clay? Do they force it to DeMarcus? That's something they haven't done over the last handful of games, which is great because that's helped him a little bit, but they also sometimes like to. You know, it's just you don't know what you're going to get game to game with these guys. And as far as Memphis is concerned, they have Jonas Valanciunas, who, not an all-star by any means, but that's another massive body to go up against DeMarcus. So how do they handle that? Are they just going to let him go head-to-head with the big guy and see what he can do? Do they look for mismatches? We'll see. Draymond, just keep playing Draymond basketball. Be efficient, be crisp, all that stuff. And then as far as the bench goes, man, the bench has been playing really well lately. Jonas Jerebko, Quinn Cook, Alphonso McKinney, obviously Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala. Sean had a great game last game. His eyes got real wide when he saw Luke Kennard on the court. But as far as McKinney, Jerebko, and Quinn Cook go, for me, one of the most important things, we know Jerebko is going to be down there banging. The guy is way more physical than I ever imagined when they got him. Quinn Cook has been knocking down shots. Can he just tighten up some of the mistakes, tighten up defensively? It's not a huge deal, but if he can just not be victimized defensively, he can be on the court longer. McKinney, the threes. All three of them really keep knocking down threes. That will continue to get you playing time throughout some of the playoffs. By the time they get to the finals, that's when Steve Kerr really starts paring down that rotation. But through the first couple rounds, he will continue to play 8, 9, 10 guys. Or 8's not that much. 9, 10, 11 guys, really. So if they continue to play well, they'll continue to get minutes moving forward. So those are things to look for tonight. With Jordan Bell out, I mean, it's not that big of a deal with the Andrew Bogut signing. Just look for Looney to get, I don't know, the same amount of time as he usually does. He'll continue to play. Bogut, we'll see how the matchup goes, really. With Valanciunas and the Grizzlies, it might not be a Bogut night, because if Cousins can handle his against Valanciunas, there's not a major reason to have Bogut in there. So we'll see how that goes. I want to spend a second on the standings in the NBA right now, because it's not, I don't know, it's weird. you know, That's my analysis. It's weird. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening. No, so the Denver Nuggets and Golden State Warriors are tied for the one seed right now. And I mentioned Golden State's favorable schedule moving forward to end the year. Now, I don't know who they'd want to play in the first round, but here is Denver's schedule moving forward. They have Houston, Oklahoma City, Washington, Golden State, San Antonio, Portland, Utah, Minnesota. That's tough. That's six playoff teams, seven games against six playoff teams of their nine remaining. That's a tough, tough go for them. For the Warriors, they have, including tonight, Memphis, Minnesota, Charlotte, Denver, Lakers, Clippers, Cavs, Pelicans, Memphis again. So that's, what, three playoff teams, if you include Charlotte, who are, I believe, still in the playoff hunt in the East. Three playoff teams, three games against playoff teams with their next nine, where for Denver, it's seven of their next nine against playoff teams. So it'll probably work itself out to where the Warriors do get the one seed just naturally because of the schedule. But if you look at the standings right now, and here's the thing, it'll change so much between now and when the playoffs start. But at this very moment, the Spurs are the eighth seed. Now, depending on who you ask who the Warriors would like to see in the first round, I think if the choices are the Spurs or OKC, it would be the Spurs. Because here's the deal. The Spurs are half a game behind OKC. OKC is one full game behind Utah. And then the Clippers are half a game ahead of Utah. So there can still be some movement, but it looks like it'll be between the Spurs and Oklahoma City. And I think the Warriors would prefer the Spurs just because of what comes with playing against Oklahoma City. All the outside noise that would accompany a series against OKC. Not that they can't beat them. Not that they can't sweep them. But a game against San Antonio would just be a little quieter. A little easier. Utah would be a tough first-round matchup. So would San Antonio. San Antonio is going to be tough. That's a series where, you know, Warriors might sweep them, but they will have to play 48 tough minutes for four games. You know, there's no downtime during the game. It's a Popovich team, you know, so there's no real easy answer as far as who they would want to play when it comes to in the first round, because of the fact that, like, let's throw the Clippers in there even. That's a surprise team that has played damn well. They're 15-5 since moving Tobias Harris. So I don't know what the exact answer is, but if it's Clippers, Jazz, OKC, San Antonio, I don't know. Pick your poison. They're all tough. But as far as the Warriors go, all they need to worry about is just winning their remaining games. And with that pretty much easy schedule moving forward, I'm sure they will, and get locked in for the playoffs. Going to take one last break, wrap this thing up for the day. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Just going to wrap this thing up for the day. Warriors taking on the Grizz tonight. Be sure to check that one out. MVP battle last night was solid. It was fun. The Bucks beat down the Rockets, which is always fun. I'm torn. I don't know who the MVP is. It's between Giannis and Harden. You can't go wrong either way. Honestly, I'm leaning Harden. I just, what he's done this year is undeniable. Hit me up on Twitter at CTH415. Do you agree, disagree? Am I an idiot? Well, yes, I'm an idiot, but that's regardless of whether I think Harden's MVP or not. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just as confused and torn as everyone else on this one. So straighten me out, guys. Help me out here. Help me figure out who the MVP is. Let's go on to league pass picks for the evening. Five games tonight. This is where the clunkers really start coming in. End of the year, there are teams that are not trying. Wizards Suns, like, who's going to out-tank each other? Lakers Jazz, pass. Trailblazers Bulls, like, the Bulls don't want to win. And, oh, you know what? I'm going to spend a second on this right now. I should have devoted more time to it, and I know I'm all over the place, but Yusuf Nurkic, that injury was so gruesome, so brutal. I'm usually good about not seeing these sort of things, but I was watching it live and seeing him go down like that and just the contortion of the ankle, it was terrible. It was terrible. It's heartbreaking for the Trailblazers. You guys have heard me talk about them as a team, how I've appreciated and am intrigued by what they've done this year by putting Jake Layman in the rotation, Yusuf Nurkic's progression as a player. He's been so damn good this year. So good. Getting Enes Kanter. Like, Enes Kanter, we can make as much fun of him as we want because it's fun. But he's a solid player, solid backup. Now, it does hurt that Nurkic goes down and Kanter will have to take on a bigger role, but it's better to have Kanter to fill that role than Myers Leonard, you know, or someone like that. Zach Collins has been playing well, going out and getting Rodney Hood. They have the depth at the wing position that, you know, the Warriors would love to have, where they have Al-Farouq Aminu, Mo Harkless, Rodney Hood, Jake Layman, all guys 6'8 plus. Now, none of them are all-stars or anything like that out of those wings, but those are all good players. And tough break for them with Nurkic going down, because I don't know what you thought their ceiling might be in the playoffs, but with Nurkic going down, it's not what it once was, which is really too bad. Anyways, shout out Nurk, get better, man. Tough break, literally and figuratively. Just, man, get better. I hear it's going to be about 8 months, so he'll be back. Well, who knows? Maybe mid-November, but we'll see. Anyways, back to League Pass picks. That was Trailblazers, Bulls. Blazers will smack them. So here are the two League Pass picks, and one of them's only because it's Warriors. It's Warriors playing the Grizzlies. That's another tough one to really muster up a bunch of excitement for, but we get to watch the Warriors, so that'll always be a pick. And then Pacers-Thunders is a game of the night for me. Two teams evenly matched. The Thunder have been on a serious skid recently, which is hilarious. Oh, my God. It's so funny. No, that's mean, but it is kind of funny, too. But, no, they've lost, what is it, 5 of their last 6 and are sliding, currently in the 7th seed. And they have a... not an easy schedule moving forward. They're taking on Indiana, Denver, Dallas, Lakers, Pistons, T-Wolves, Rockets, Bucks. The thing is with the Rockets and Bucks, with those last two, maybe they've packed it in already getting ready for the playoffs. So anyways, who knows? But either way, Thunder, Pacers tonight. Check that out. Thank you guys so much for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Warriors. Thank you guys for listening. Be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.